It's 8:13. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. In the studio with me now from Summit Land Conservancy, Director Cheryl Fox. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
So let's see. We're back after the hops.
That's
right.
So
we've got a couple of hikes going on.
We're out after the hops once again. So people may be familiar with our Hops Hunter program, and this is a great free opportunity to for people to come out, hike the local trails. And while we're doing it, we're looking for edibles. And this year, our Hops Hike Hunter leader is Mackenzie Schwartz, and she's our AmeriCorps intern. She's fabulous, and she knows a little bit more about other things that you might want to eat or not eat out on the trails. And so this month in June, we have two hikes. We'll be going out to Empire up Daly on June 14th. That's a Sunday. They're going to meet at the top of Daly at 9:30 in the morning, and the hike takes about 2 hours, so 9:30 to 11:30. It's kind of a great opportunity. We found that people like to go on the hikes and then come down and enjoy the Silly Market. On June 28th, we'll be at the McPolin Farmlands, again at 9:30. This one, we encourage people to ride their bikes and meet us at the barn, the white barn there. And again, we're looking for these wild hops. They were generally planted by the miners back, 100 years ago, and they grow year after year after year. They get bigger. The actual hop gets bigger on the plant as the plant gets older. Last year, we were able to harvest 42 pounds of hops, which then the Wasatch Brew Pub turned into a fabulous beer, which we called Clothing Hoptional. And it was really very delicious, and it sold out in under a month. So we are hoping to be able to do that again. Wasatch is again partnering with us. We're very grateful for their support. And anyway, so we go out, we look at these populations, we watch the plant grow over the course of the summer, and then sometime in late August we'll be harvesting again, we hope, unless it freezes like it did the first time.
Yeah, you're going to get experts at this here real soon.
Yeah, we hope so.
Also, you've got a birding event coming up, or you're
That's
partnering
right.
with somebody?
This one, we're partnering with Hawkwatch International, and this event is on June 27th from 2 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And this is a great event for families to come out, people who want to learn a little more about our native raptors here in Park City. This will meet at the Quinns Junction Trailhead in Round Valley. We'll go for a little walk and look at the raptors and other birds that are out there. We do have limited space because Hawkwatch is going to bring some of their birds, and we're going to have a little bit of a talk and a little bit of a discussion about this. So we don't want to have too many people. So we are asking people to pre-register for this, and they can do that on our website, or they can do it by contacting Caitlin at wesaveland.org. That's our website too. So if you go on our website and look for our programs coordinator, it'll be easy to find
her. Let's see, what else have you got? Another Weber River Watershed Initiative?
Oh, that's right. We've got a fun little opportunity drawing. Be a giver, save the Weber River. And, we are doing a lot of work in Eastern Summit County to preserve the farms and ranches that currently line the Weber River. The Weber River is perhaps the most, I've said it before, the most threatened natural resource in northern Utah. And the reason for this is because it's already been, these farms and ranches have already been subdivided, and they're not terribly big. They're 40 acres, 50 acres, maybe 100 acres. And they're very expensive because they make a great spot for somebody to put up a nice big house who wants to be right there on the river. There are a whole lot of problems with that from an environmental point of view. One is, when you pave it, then the water runs into the river faster and it creates increased turbulence, which means that downstream they have to filter all that out. The Weber River provides the drinking water for 20% of Utah's population. So when we muck that up, the fixes are very expensive. Obviously, the fixes are very expensive, more expensive than actually saving these properties. So we've been working since 2007 to save the little farms and ranches, and sometimes the big ones in the Weber River watershed. And what we find is that we can get big federal grants to pay the big ticket easement. Well, sometimes we can get the federal grants to pay the big ticket items. The harder part is the cost to our organization of just keeping that program going, making sure that we're able to have somebody who writes the federal grant three times in some cases because the federal people decide to change their forms. And so it's a big deal, and then we also have to find a lot of additional partners to match the federal money, because in Utah there's not one big funding source. So we have an opportunity drawing It's a great program. We're very fortunate that Jan's Mountain Outfitters donated an all-day fishing trip for two people up in A Thousand Peaks, which is incredibly beautiful if you've ever been up there. And it's also private, so you can't go up there unless you get a guide or you participate in our opportunity drawing and are successful. So people can give us a call at the Summit Land Conservancy's office, or they can visit our website again. We're selling only 100 of these opportunities, and they are $50 a piece. And, of course, there is no purchase necessary. If people want to find out about more information, again, they can go on our website or they can give us a call.
Okay. And then finally, you've got an event, but you're already taking reservations for in August.
Naturally, we are already taking reservations, and we're hoping that people will save the date. This is the first ever Blue Sky Bash for open space. We are very excited about this. High West is catering it. It will be held at the Blue Sky Ranch, which is in Wanship. There are only 200 tickets available for this. So if people are interested, they're $350 a piece. But again, there's only a few of them. We're not sure if this is going to be an annual event or every other year. It just depends kind of on how it all works out for us. So we're very excited about it. Also, of course, there will be an auction, but our auction's going to be a little bit different. We really want to help people understand how, you know, our kind of motto right now is life is better with open space. And so we're having experiences that are better with open space. So there's not going to be a vast auction, but some really interesting, cool things. We've actually partnered with a land trust up in Alaska, and they're putting together a program so people can come and bid on this sea kayaking, fishing, great trip to Homer, Alaska. And the Alaskan Land Trust is going to be the beneficiary of a package that we're putting together here in Park City. So very excited about this.
Okay. Again, everything is online at wesaveland.org.
Wesaveland.org.
Okay. Cheryl, thanks.
Thank you.
8:25 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, the director of People's Health Clinic, Nan Worrell, the first person to file for Park City Council for one of the three seats up for election. She joins me now in the studio. Good morning, Nan.
Good morning, Leslie.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you wanted to run for City Council.
Well, I'm a native of the beautiful Pacific Northwest of Seattle and grew up there, went down to UCLA for graduate school, and from there got recruited out to Alabama. So we spent 20-something years in the state of Alabama and had a second home here because we missed the Northwest and the West. And then in 2007, we moved here full-time, and I've loved every second of it.
All right. And so your background, though, I mean, you certainly, we know you as the director of a nonprofit organization, but what's your background? I mean, what did you go to school for?
I have a master's in both nursing and hospital administration. So that's what I'm using at the clinic.
Great. All right. And your reason for running for city council?
I'm running because I, along with so many other people in this beautiful city, am totally committed to making sure that we keep Park City, Park City. And I've spent 4 years on the Planning Commission trying to do just that. Leslie, there's some really big issues that are going to be on the horizon for us, and I want to be a voice at the table when those issues come forward.
All right. So when does your Planning Commission term end?
In 2016.
Okay, so you would have to give up the seat if you were elected then,
and right.
But it would just have been a year that you would miss.
Uh-huh.
And given your work at People's Health Clinic, I think that they receive some funding from Park City Municipal. Is there any conflict of interest with that?
There is not. The clinic has a special service contract with the city, and one of the big factors in my decision to run for city council was to make sure that there would not be a conflict of interest. So I sat down with Mark Harrington, the city attorney, and we talked about it, and there would not be, because I would not be the person making the decision on how much the clinic would be funded. If there was a vote on that, then I would recuse myself from that vote.
All right. So you still intend, though, to keep your job as clinic director and
I do.
Yep, and serve as the council as well. So, what issues are you bringing to the campaign here? I mean, you talked about you want to keep Park City, Park City, but what do you hope to accomplish with your service?
There's so many issues that are going to come in front of us. Managing the growth of the community. How do we maintain our sense of community? How do we maintain our historic heritage as growth happens? Because growth is going to be inevitable, and I think it's key that the city is proactive in managing that. And Planning Commission, one of the things that, we struggle with and that we work very hard at each meeting is how do we put teeth behind the conditions of approval that we put on projects? Because we say, these are the conditions that we're approving whatever the project is. And then sometimes things slip through the cracks. So we're looking really hard at what kind of teeth can we put behind those.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you talk about growth, I mean, what are your ideas? I mean, what do we do about growth? I mean, we've been talking about managing growth for 30 years.
We have, and I think it's going to be a conversation for a long time. We need to manage the way that, people are coming into town. We need to manage the roads. We don't want another Carmageddon. We need to incentivize carpooling. We need to be aggressive with our parking restrictions and figure out some ways that we can limit the number of cars that are coming into town.
Yeah, so would you say yourself, I mean, pretty much status quo with where the current council is headed?
I don't disagree with the direction that the current council is going in.
Yeah. Let's talk real briefly. I mean, this has been before you, the BOPA, the Bonanza Park area, and form-based code. Do you have any opinions on that?
As far as I know, that's still an open application with the city. I haven't heard that it's not. And as a planning commissioner, I can't speak on that as long as it's an open application.
Okay. Well, something that's coming before the city, we're talking about now with those water pumping surcharges, you know, where they would increase fees for those who live above the Boot Hill pressure zone. Is that something you could get behind?
I'd have to get some more information about that. I'm sorry, I don't have enough right now to have an opinion.
Okay. Well, we saw a lot of money spent in the last municipal election. Really, it was the mayoral campaign. Do you have a threshold in terms of how much money you'll spend on your campaign?
I'm a novice at this, and so it's a learning as you go process for me. It's my understanding from other candidates that $4,000 to $7,000 is kind of the ballpark that most city council races go for, and so that's what I'm planning on.
Okay, all right. Anything else you'd like to tell us? Because we'll be up, be talking with you quite a bit over the next several months.
I look forward to that. Thanks for having me in today.
Okay. It's Nan Worrell, the first person to apply for Park City Council. Again, the filing window remains open through next Monday at 5 p.m. at City Hall. The hours are between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. KPCW News Time now, 8:31. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Joining me now on the phone from, I've got Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Let's see. On Monday morning, a quarterly meeting was held with Park City Municipal and the school district. Any news out of that?
I think the biggest thing that we heard is about the school district's master planning that's going on. Had a long discussion amongst the elected officials to talk about, some of the traffic impacts that could come about given different scenarios of where they're possibly going to build that 5-6 school building. So a lot of discussion about that.
Okay. There was also some talk about the school sustainability update. Can you give us an update on that?
We really didn't get into all that all much, although that was on the agenda. Dr. Connolly wasn't there to give that update, so we kind of skipped over that item.
So regarding transportation, certainly right, we've been talking about a school perhaps there at Bear Hollow, which would impact Kilby Road. There's also some talk there along they've got some property, the school district, some property on Bear Hollow, which could impact traffic there on 224. Will the county get involved or make a recommendation on this, or it's just try and best manage whatever way they choose?
It's a combination of both. I mean, we've been involved. We've been attending, staff has been, and council members have been attending some of their master planning meetings along the way. So we're pretty aware of what they're doing, and I look at what their master planning has done to look at traffic, and they're being very responsible with that. So we'll be continuing to meet with UDOT, the school district, and ourselves in order to properly plan for and react to wherever they make those decisions to go.
All right, taking a look at the meeting itself, that'll be tomorrow starting at 1.
We've got a big one.
Yeah.
Week.
And it actually will be held at the Sheldon Richens Building. First, a presentation from Fire Warden Bryce Boyer. Any idea of what the fire hazard level is at this point?
You know, I've reviewed the material, but I am not a fire expert, so I don't want to give a judgment on that. But I think the rains that we've experienced in the state in the past couple of weeks have helped tremendously. However, I think there's still quite a bit of danger out there because of the lack of snow during the winter. So I think we'll hear about that on Wednesday.
All right. Also, a discussion with regard to Senate Bill 137. This is apparently a bill saying that emails of a public entity cannot be used for political purposes or to take a position on a ballot proposal. Why do you need to discuss this with the county council?
It's mainly because, you know, there's a possibility that the school district would go out for a bond issue this year. There's been a lot of talk about that, as well as, you know, it's possible, not probable, that Summit County would go after the local option that was given to us by the state for transportation sales tax. And so in preparation of those things, we just wanted to give our elected officials and our staff an update on that law so that we don't violate those things.
Okay. So basically a heads up to the county council. But does this just deal with emails?
Or... Well, this law specifically dealt with emails, but there's already laws on the books that deal with other type of communication and what we can and can't do in relation to ballot issues once they're on. And once they're decided. So it's just an update, I think, to those laws to make sure that email is covered as well.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, something like a personal Facebook page. I mean, is an elected official allowed to tell people what they think there?
Well, the difference, you know, it does specifically say public email addresses. So their county email address would not be able to be used for that. But I'm assuming that means that, and again, that's an assumption by me, but I will hear on Wednesday whether that applies to their personal correspondence as well.
Okay. Also, we'll begin a discussion on Mountain Accord. That starts just after 2 o'clock. Will the council decide tomorrow if they want to move on to phase two?
I'm not sure that a decision will be made. It is just a work session item at this point. As we're seeing, there was a Mountain Accord executive executive committee workshop last Friday that Councilman Robinson went to. There's an official meeting of the executive committee on June 8th, and I believe this is lining up for direction to Chris Robinson about that June 8th meeting and future meetings that will get closer to a final accord to look at blueprint, all those things that we have to, that the council needs to make decisions about.
So this is really just an update as opposed to making some kind of decision about moving forward?
That's correct. And there are some pretty significant things that folks will hear that have changed within the blueprint and the accord regarding tunnels, regarding connections to the Big Cottonwood Canyons, regarding priorities of funding for NEPA processes related to transportation projects. There's been a little bit of movement in some of those items. So the staff will give an update to the council on some of those things. Chris will also give some updates, and then they'll discuss more.
All right. Given what you know, I mean, are you tending to recommend that the council move forward with any kind of interlocal agreement?
I think we still have some work to do. I mean, the nitty-gritty of this, or the details, the devil being in the details, is that some of the priorities that are being discussed may not favor Summit County at this point. So we've got to be in those meetings ready to talk about our priorities and see where they weigh out in the mix and see if those indeed cause the council to want to move forward or not.
All right. Also, just after 4 o'clock, scheduled to approve the Silver Creek Village Development Agreement. Is this ready for approval?
You know what? I never want to say exactly ready, because as soon as I do that, we'll have another item that we need to dive into a little further. I think we're more ready than we have been in the past few weeks, as it's been discussed, but we'll wait and see. It seemed like it was pretty close the last week when they discussed it. Obviously the council will be talking about that again and see if staff and the development group have reacted well to their comments from last week.
Yeah. So what's your feeling approving a project with a build out that could outlive us?
Well, I mean, that's the way development agreements have worked in this county, and it's for something this large. Very rarely in our size of a county does something just, a 1,200 unit development just get plunked down in a couple of years. I'm hoping that the way that we've gone about it makes sure that we have some ability to react to those to possible negative impacts that we haven't anticipated.
All right. Any further thoughts about the idea that the county has no power to deal with South Summit's possible school site? And was there any discussion about that at Monday's meeting?
There was a little bit of discussion about that. And, the council made clear about what their limitations are. And I think there's still some disagreement between the developer and the school district experts on what is appropriate there and what can be done. But the county is limited in what they can talk about and what they can insist on in those regards. It's just a nuance of the law.
All right. And at 5:00, a quarterly joint meeting with the Snyderville Basin Planning Commission scheduled to meet with them for an hour. The staff report said that you'll be talking about two particular provisions, which one says no further major entitlements approved above base zoning until the existing development is substantially built out. The other says that before you preserve open space by easements or deeds, you will analyze transportation values. So these both drew some flack during public hearings. What do you want to hear from the Planning Commission about these?
Well, I think the aim of our planning staff is to make sure that council understands the motivation behind the language that the Planning Commission approved. I think there's been a lot of discussion about those items offline as the last few weeks have passed by since the council discussed that and heard public comment about it. So I think we'll see some resolution to that. But really, it's appropriate that the council get the direct word from the Planning Commission on what they were thinking when that language was adopted by the Planning Commission to move forward to council.
Okay. Will you be taking any input, or that's just meeting with them? I mean, if the public had their two cents, do they need to wait before it comes back onto the agenda for approval or something? Or
well, that's probably the most appropriate way for that to happen. But the council is pretty comfortable if the public is there to receive public input, but it's really up to the chair on how they want to handle that item within the meeting.
Okay, and finally, a public hearing with regard to the proposed new anti-idling ordinance. I guess it's not new, but just some new restrictions, dropping exemptions for very cold or very hot temperatures, cutting idling time down to a minute. In terms of this, how is it even going to be enforced? I mean, is it something that the county's going after?
Well, as we've talked to our Park City partners and some of the outlying communities, the enforcement has been mostly through education and help, working with groups like the school districts and the individual schools and parent groups to build awareness and to find those places where we can really have an effect. I don't think enforcement has been strong or probably not even all that existent on issuing tickets per se. It's more about signage, education, making sure that law enforcement has the ability to walk up to a vehicle and say, hey, did you know that there is an idling ordinance and this is what it says, so that people can comply.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, it's just a busy Wednesday, and we're looking forward to getting through this one.
Okay. Tom, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That's Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. It's 8:44 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, Sundance Institute presents its 18th annual free outdoor film screenings held here in Park City as well as in Salt Lake City. In the studio to tell us more about that, Kara Cody is the Sundance Institute Senior Manager of Utah Community Programs. Good morning to you, Kara.
Good morning, Leslie.
So let's see, you've got the schedule finalized?
Yes, we do. Today is our big announcement day. So we're very, very excited to be back at City Park and share some of the finest independent film with the local community.
Okay, so you've got how many films?
Three here in Park City and then four in Salt Lake City. So a total of seven different films we're presenting this summer.
Okay, and they're held midweek, right, as opposed to weekends?
Well, in Park City, they're held on Friday evenings. Like I said, at City Park, films start at dusk, approximately 9 o'clock. Just needs to be dark enough for us to project. And then in Salt Lake City, we present them on Wednesday evenings at Red Butte Garden Amphitheater.
Okay. Cost?
Free. Open to the public. No ticket necessary. Just show up. Seating is on a first-come, first-served basis. We encourage people to bring a blanket or low-back chair and, possibly a picnic and just enjoy, some fantastic films under the beautiful Utah sky.
All right. So you're going to kick it off Wednesday, July 1st at Red Butte with a film, I think it was 2 years ago, Sundance, God Help the Girl.
Yeah, God Help the Girl. It was actually part of our program last summer, and we had to cancel the screening about 20 minutes in due to inclement weather. So it's kind of our mulligan screening, if you will. And that is a musical done by Stuart Murdoch of Belle and Sebastian. Then the following week, we present Searching for Sugar Man, and Rodriguez will be performing the following night at Red Butte, so kind of a neat tie-in there. Then on Friday, July 10th, we kick off the series here in Park City with Racing Extinction. I'm really excited to present that film in collaboration with Recycle Utah. Encourage people to come to the park early, to learn more about Recycle Utah's mission and also how they can lessen their impact on the earth and also help celebrate Recycle Utah's 25th anniversary.
Yeah, I was going to say this one was the easier film of Louis Silas to watch. Apparently,
yeah.
It's not about.
Yeah, it's not quite as graphic and hard to watch as it was kind of a difficult subject matter in the Cove, but it's a very, very hopeful film, and we're just really excited to collaborate with Recycle Utah. Then on Wednesday, July 15th, we present In Football We Trust, which is a documentary set in the Salt Lake Valley with two local filmmakers, Tony Vainuku and Erica Cohn. So we're very excited to screen that film, and we will have some representatives from the film on site to lead a guided discussion before the film. And that'll be at Red Butte Garden. Then on Friday, July 31st, we once again collaborate with the Kimball Arts Festival to present a film as part of Arts Festival Weekend. This year, we're screening Beasts of the Southern Wild, a film that really received a lot of success after premiering at the festival and also received a lot of our lab support. So if you've seen it once or if you haven't seen it, we encourage people to come out and enjoy it. Then on Friday, August 14th, we present Being Evil, a documentary about Evel Knievel and collaborating with Park City Recreation to plan some fun activities in the park. Then finally, on August 26th, for our final film, we're having the community vote again to see which film they want to end out the series this summer. And this summer, we're looking at our cult classic comedies. We're asking people to decide between Clerks, Super Troopers, and Wet Hot American Summer. You can either vote on-site or at our website, which is www.sundance.org/Utah.
Okay. So how do you decide which films to bring?
Sure.
To choose from?
So many. We like to get a lot of feedback from the local community. We do some on-site surveys where we ask people what films they'd like to see and then have done some follow-up, email surveys as well. So, and of course, we'd love to present films that were just at the festival as well. But we really appreciate, feedback from the local community with what they want to see.
Okay. And in the last few years, Sundance has gone all digital. Is that what we're doing out here as well?
Yeah, that's what we're doing out in the park. Basically, we bring the equipment that we, it is the equipment that we use indoors at the theater during the festival, and we bring it outside. So you're going to have a very bright picture, very nice, loud sound, and it's really kind of, the highest presentation quality possible for an outdoor screening. So.
Right. And Sundance does it as their way to kind of give back to the community.
Yeah. Way to give back to the community. And it's also part of our mission of connecting, engaging audiences with the artists that we support. So if you've never come out and enjoyed a film, we really encourage you to do that this summer. that it's just a really fun experience.
All right. Full lineup again is online? Or?
Yep, full lineup is online. All right. At sundance.org/Utah.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, Kara.
Okay.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Leslie.
It's Kara Cody. She is Sundance Institute's Utah Senior Manager of Utah Community Programs. It's springtime, and the Swanner Eco Center has a lot going on. In the studio with details, the director of Swanner Eco Center and co-host of This Green Earth, Nell Larson. Good morning, Nell.
Good morning, Leslie.
So what have you got planned?
Oh, well, we've got, at this time of year, lots of outdoor tours, which are always some of our most popular events of the year. So we've had a couple bird walks already, and now we're moving into some other things. We're going to be doing a wildflower walk on Tuesday, June 9th at 6 p.m., and this will be led by a couple of the folks from the USU Botanical Center who are like incredibly knowledgeable about these plants. So if you have questions or specific plants you want ID or whatever, it's a great time to bring those things to this event if you're interested in coming. The group will start at the Eco Center and then head out onto the trails and look at some of the wildflowers that are growing on the preserve at this time of year.
Okay, that happens, you said, when and...
That's Tuesday, June 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. And as usual with most of our community series events, that's $5 for non-members and free for members. And then the next thing coming up that we've got is the Owl Prowl. And this we do almost every year in conjunction with Hawk Watch. This year, Dave Oliar will be presenting, and he's really an expert on these kinds of birds. So he'll talk about the owls that we have here locally. And then everyone will gear up and head out for a night hike on one of the trails. And it's incredible what you can do. I've attended these in the past, and you can kind of like, you know, they will make the call to try to draw in these birds. And so you end up being able to kind of triangulate and end up seeing a bird that evening. So it's really... that's a special one, and that's from 7 to 10 p.m. Obviously, we need a little bit more time for that.
And what day is that?
That is Wednesday, June 24th.
Okay.
And then finally, we have our Wetland Pond Walk. So we'll hike out into the center of the Swanner Wetlands, and that's a really special place, and it's not a place where we have open public access. And so one of the things we'll be looking at is the reintroduction of the Columbia spotted frog, which we've been working with the Division of Wildlife Resources on for years now. So a lot of people are familiar with that. So we'll head out to the ponds, we'll visit what are called Head Start cages, where some of the introduction is taking place, and just generally kind of learn about the wetlands and what's out there on the preserve that you may not be able to see as you, you know, whiz by on I-80 or 224.
Yeah. I went on this last year. It was fascinating to see kind of the cages that you had set up there.
I mean,
at that time, you had expressed some concern, though, given just the water that would be flowing into the preserve. Any update on that? And I think the concern was just the golf course could be using a lot of that water that you would normally see.
Yeah, exactly. Water is definitely our biggest long-term concern, being a wetland. And we know that some of our water comes from a deep aquifer and deep springs and upwells on the preserve. But some of it is also surface flow that's coming down in the streams. And, you know, there's yet another diversion that's coming online this year. And we were not successful in our request to ask for like a minimum flow level on that. And so we just kind of have to play it by ear and see what happens. There's a lot of concern that East Canyon Creek will dry up this year, but these rains are obviously, you know, helping significantly. What it looks like come, you know, August is maybe a different story. But water is absolutely concerned. The wetlands are in great shape right now, though, as you can imagine, green and lush and just full of birds at this time of year.
Yeah. Sandhills are back and...
Yes. Yeah, the sandhills are back, and mm-hmm. they've got their colts, which hatched really early this year, which makes for some fun bird watching, as well as other shorebirds. And so, yeah, it's a great time for birding on the trails and around the perimeter. I've even heard rumor of some pelicans flying over in town here, so keep your eyes out.
Okay. Also, you've got a beautiful exhibit inside the Eco Center. It's the Utah Wilderness 50, and it's going away soon?
Yeah. So the last day for that exhibit is June 7th. And so we wanted to provide a reminder that if you wanted to make it in, we're kind of in the home stretch here. We've got the exhibit itself, which is 50 photographs of Utah's public lands and open spaces. And it provides a great to-do list for those like weekend trips, I think, because so many of the locations are close. And then we've also got some kids activities related to that that you can come in and do. And then we've also got a film that it's just 8 minutes long, and you can come in and see that while you're there looking at the photographs.
Okay. What are you going to bring back? Are you bringing back the regular exhibits? You got something else coming up?
We are bringing back the permanent exhibits, and we're going to get those back in just in the nick of time for our summer camps, which we use those exhibits for. And we're exploring some fun options for 2016 for further rotating traveling exhibits. So stay tuned on that one.
Okay. And, of course, this Green Earth coming up right after the news. What have you got on the show today?
That's right. We will be talking about solar cooking and solar ovens and the potential for that to have a big environmental impact in countries other than the U.S., I think. And then we'll also be talking about the heat wave in India and how heat waves can impact death rates and things along those lines.
So. Yeah, like 120. I mean, it's like hot.
Yeah, yeah. They use a heat index. It's a combo of temperature and humidity. And they're getting these heat indexes of like 146 degrees and shocking numbers like that.
Oh,
so
goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good thing we're in the mountains, right, Leslie?
Thanks, Nell.
Thank you.
Again, Nell Larson, the executive director of the Swanner Eco Center and co-host of This Green Earth.
Morning News and the Local News Hour with Leslie Thatcher is provided by Park City Medical Center, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, Assemble Park City, Deer Valley Resort, and Promontory and the Promontory Foundation.